Please be seated. Life is Amsterdam. Now, for those of you who've had me in class, I'm going to ask a question that may sound a little familiar. What do I mean by that? Maybe you're trying to come up with various parallels in your mind right now. Oh, let's see, Amsterdam, that's in the Netherlands, right? And I've heard the saying, if you're not Dutch, you're not much. And so what you're saying, Professor, is that we're all Dutch, right? No, sorry. Life is Amsterdam has nothing to do with it being Dutch. Try again. What else do you know about Amsterdam? Well, let's see. The Netherlands, windmills. They have lots of windmills. So you're saying that life is like a windmill. You go around and around and you never get anywhere. Nope, that's not the comparison I'm trying to make either. One more try. Well, let's see. Amsterdam. The reason they had all of the windmills in the Netherlands was because most of the country sits below sea level and they had to pump all of the water out and over the dike. So what you're saying is that when life starts to make you feel inundated, then you better start bailing. No, that's not what I'm saying either. So what do I mean when I say life is Amsterdam? Now, those of you who were on the spring break trip with Professor Bukowski to Italy might have an inkling of where I'm headed. Or if you've flown to Europe or various parts of the world, parts of Asia perhaps, you might have an inkling of what I'm thinking. And in fact, the last three times I've gone overseas, two of those times have all gone through Amsterdam. So when I say life is Amsterdam, what I mean is that as Christians, this life, this earthly life, is really simply a layover. It's not our final destination. It's not going to last forever. We will not be here forever. So why is it that too many times we act like we will be here forever? Now, you know what I'm talking about. And Jesus does too. Listen to his words from part of his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is God's word. Now we may listen to what Jesus says here and in some ways figure that these words don't apply to us as much as Jesus wants them to. After all, what do I have that really can be considered a treasure? Well, of course, there's my pair of lucky socks. Let's see, my MP3 player, my car, which is really nice to cruise around in. Let's see, my wardrobe, but of course I could always use some additions to that. Oh, my laptop computer, my really new cool cell phone that's also an MP3 player. But you know, none of these things really are treasures because they're not that valuable in terms of money. If we think like that, we're thinking about defining a treasure how we might define a treasure. How does Jesus define what a treasure is? He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Think about all your stuff, all of the things that you may or may not consider to be treasures. How long will all that stuff last? How long will it be before your computer fries its hard drive and breaks down, even if it is a Mac? How long before your cell phone becomes outdated? How long before your car succumbs to the salted streets and rusts out from under you? How long before your wardrobe is so last year and you need to dump it at the thrift store? Indeed, anything that we have on this earth, all that we accumulate over time, all that we're given, all that we buy, all of it eventually is going to fade or wrinkle or rust or break or rot. And if we're spending our energy and efforts in trying to accumulate more and more of this disposable and expendable stuff, if our hearts, our very beings, who we are, if we're totally focused on the things of this world, what is it going to get us? Putting our focus on getting more and more treasures in this life is sin. And the only thing that it's going to get us is a one-way ticket to hell. Now, to counter this materialistic view of life, Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, how is that supposed to work? Does that mean that we're supposed to build up some kind of frequent good work points so that we have even nicer things in heaven? Or perhaps Jesus is saying that we need to sin less while we're here on earth and do more good, and that way we'll be rewarded even more when we're in paradise with him. What Jesus presents to us today is not a system of how to get ahead in this life and the next. He actually sums up his point pretty well at the end of this chapter. He says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be granted to you." This life is not about you. It's not about how much stuff you can get and how much fun you can have. This life is about one thing and one thing only: serving your Creator. Now, don't take that in a negative way, as if it's an oppressive burden that's placed on your shoulders. You serve your Creator. You serve the God of the universe because you want to. Not by nature, not the way you were born, not according to our sinful ways, but according to what God has done for you through his Son. You see, Jesus, the very Son of God, came to this earth and he showed us what this life is all about. He said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus served his heavenly Father. He served your heavenly Father perfectly because you can't. And then he took all of your sins, including your sins of selfishness and greed, he placed them on his shoulders and carried them to the cross where he died so that you don't have to. And then Jesus rose from the dead to guarantee that you will be with him forever in heaven. That's what's most important in this life, making sure that you're prepared for the next life, making sure that you're headed for heaven and not hell. When Jesus tells you to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, he means that you need to make your spiritual life your focus, not your physical life. He means that you need to expend your energies on being built up in your faith by his means of grace, by his ways of giving you forgiveness of sins, by reading and studying his word, by thinking daily about what he did for you in your baptism, by coming to his table often. He means that you need to concentrate on seeking forgiveness from him and not concentrate on bolstering your bank account. After all, this life is Amsterdam. It's simply a layover as we're headed for heaven. Now, nothing against Amsterdam, of course, but don't make this life your final destination. Something infinitely better awaits you. Amen. Please open your hymnals to page 153 in the front part of the hymnal, and we will pray together, collect number 47, page 153. Lord God, Heavenly Father, by your Son you fed 5,000 men in the wilderness with 5 loaves and 2 fish. We beseech you graciously to abide also with us in the fullness of your blessing. Preserve us from greed and the cares of this life, that we may seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and in all things perceive your fatherly goodness.
through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever.
Receive the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.